Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard a woman say, I married him for life, but not for lunch? Or better yet, have you ever said it? And if you are a retired couple, I'm sure one of you has thought it for sure. Have you ever wanted to know what you will do when your husband retires? You know, the husband that you send off to work every day, and that frees up your day. Think about it when he's going to be home with you day in, day out, 24/7. Can you imagine being afraid to retire? I can understand that. It's a scary time for some people. Tell me, do you know how to deal with space, the space issue? And I don't mean sending your spouse into outer space. I'm talking about your personal space. And when was the last time you heard about adult children with all of their expectations of you? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Are you ready to learn how to be successful? If you can answer yes, or maybe, to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. She will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice for those of you listening who are retired or contemplating retirement. Before I introduce her, I would love to invite you to call in during the show. The call-in number is 818-431-8506. And if you have a question, just press number 1 and you'll show up on our switchboard. I'm pleased to announce to everyone that our show is featured on the front page at blogtalkradio.com. I have been honored to become a featured host, and we now have over 900,000 fabulous listeners. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Our guest is a journalist, author, award-winning radio and television producer, and public relations consultant. As a broadcaster, she has interviewed more than 1,000 people, from celebrities to diplomats, from Margaret Mead to Marilyn Chambers. Wow, that's a stretch. This expert created, produced, and hosted the first nationally syndicated feminist radio program, which ran for 7 years from New York to San Francisco on the RKO radio network and dozens of other stations, and earned several awards. This broadcaster has been a frequent contributor to the National Public Radio, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. She was a television producer for Newsweek Broadcasting, a documentary producer for the San Francisco NBC TV affiliate, and she has received two Emmy nominations for her television documentaries. This journalist is a columnist for TheExaminer.com and a contributor to other online publications. She is also known as Miss Retirement and is the author of Too Much Togetherness, Surviving Retirement as a Couple. I'm happy to welcome to the show Miriam Goodman. Hello, Miriam. How are you today?
I'm just fine, thank you. Nice to be here, January.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this. This is a pretty hot topic for the older generation. We're finding more and more people are facing this problem. Did you have a hard time finding couples to do research for?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Everyone, well, men. It was a little hard finding men who were willing to talk about their feelings, but that's not a surprise. But women were eager to talk about it and were relieved to know that they were not alone in having these feelings about what am I going to do when he's around all the time and he doesn't have any resources of his own, and oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty, it was interesting, and I talked to people all over the country, and I have to tell you that the strangest thing that happened was that I had been interviewing people mostly on the two coasts because that's where I had lived and where I had contacts. You know, I'd ask people, do you know anyone in this situation? And finally I said, you know, I need to go to the Midwest. I need to see if people in the Midwest are having the same problem.
Yeah.
So I went to Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is where I'd gone to college. And I had a friend who had stayed there after college, and she set me up with interviews with the women that she knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I was amazed to find out that the women in the Midwest do not whine.
Really?
On the coast, you whine.
This
I
is a revelation.
Yes, I mean, the people on the coast, you know, the New Yorkers, the Californians, they always wanted something a little better, a little jazzier, you know, something. In the Midwest, I remember one woman said to me, you know, I've traveled all over the country. We've lived so many places because of my husband's job. I just never thought we'd end up in Detroit. You know, that was the only negative comment I heard for a week of interviews. You know, everybody else was very accepting. So if you're ever going to update your book, you should talk to people in the Midwest.
Well, you know, that's interesting because I actually was born in Detroit, and I went to the University of Detroit, and I have many friends who went to U of M. And I left when I was in my early 20s, and I've gone back to visit. And you're right. I go back to my class reunions, and the gals that I grew up with, they don't whine. They do seem much happier and contented staying right where they were in Detroit. It's hard to imagine, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely. Yeah. But in talking to people, it seems to be a phenomenon all over the world. I don't know if you're aware of something called the retired husband syndrome.
No. Mm-mm.
This was discovered or named, anyway, in Japan about 6 or 7 years ago. A psychiatrist was treating women who kept coming to him with all kinds of physical manifestations of their stress. They had hives. They had irritated stomachs. They had shakes, they had everything. And in talking to the women, he found out these were physical manifestations of the emotional turmoil that happened when their husbands came home.
Oh,
and he made a presentation at a psychiatrist convention in Tokyo. And all these other doctors, psychiatrists came up to him and said, you know, we're seeing the same thing. And they came up with a name called retired husband syndrome. And, you know, and I don't want to say that every person in Japan is part of the stereotype of the, you know, the company man who's works all the time, has dinner with his colleagues, goes out drinking and comes home at midnight just to go to sleep and has no relationship with his family. But this seemed to be an amazing phenomenon. And what was so shocking about it is this is the first generation of Japanese women who said, I don't need a patient. Because for so long, the women had to stay in the marriages because they were so dependent on them economically. And the Japanese have had the foresight to pass legislation so that married women are entitled to half of their husband's income and pensions and things like that. But it isn't. It doesn't just happen here. I talked to people in India. The same thing was going on in India. You must retire at the age of 60 if you work for the state. And I remember I interviewed a couple who were college professors. And at 60, they had to retire. And they were still so interested in life and in doing things. And they were not, you know, they were not ready to stay at home. And this woman said, you know, just to get away from the house, I sneak into the lab back at the university and work on things because I can't be here all the time with him.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not just us.
So you're saying it's actually becoming a world epidemic, and
absolutely, and it's, you know, we're a generation that's reinventing everything, and we're doing things differently, and we do things differently than our parents did. You know, maybe in our parents' generation, or at least my generation, when my father retired, my mother did too.
Yeah.
And you know, she thought that's what she had to do.
Right.
And it didn't work out so well for her because my father died soon after, and there was my mother without her job and her social network and everything that had been connected with it. But, you know, I'm hoping that my book will start the conversation and people will realize that this is something you need to plan for and you need to talk about.
Now, let me ask you a question. Are you and your husband, are you already retired or are you looking forward to it?
We are not retired. My husband and I each work for ourselves, so we can keep on doing this as long as someone will have us. You know, we are able to take long trips. We've just come back from Burma.
Oh, wonderful.
And, you know, things that you can't do when you're working for someone else and you only get, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks vacation a year. But we have our own interests and we do things. My husband's a golfer.
Oh,
and
good.
I have to tell you, when it's raining, and it does rain in San Francisco in the winter, I get a feeling of what it's like because he doesn't have all those resources that I keep talking about. People, you know, he needs. I mean, he likes to garden. Well, you can't do that in the rain either.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I think the important thing is that before people retire, they have to think about what it is that they want to retire to.
Exactly. Now, how can couples who are already in retirement keep separate yet together lives? That's kind of a quandary, isn't it?
Well, it's not so much a quandary for women. You know, women are multitaskers.
Yeah.
And through our lives, most of us have been doing 10 or 12 or 15 things anyway, and work was one of them. So if you stop working, you still have the social life that you set up for yourself, the times you see your friends, when you see your children and grandchildren, if you're still taking care of elderly relatives, you know, if you exercise, if you volunteer, if you have some cultural things that you're involved in, book groups, discussion groups, anything like that. So when women stop working, they still have all those other things.
Mm-hmm.
Men, unfortunately, too often, and of course not all men, have their work. And when they stop working, they're just stuck.
Yeah.
And that's it. So the first thing that I suggest that couples do is decide before they retire, what is it we're going to do later?
Yeah.
And what are your interests and how are you going to go about fulfilling them? And too many people think, well, I'll retire on Friday and Monday morning I'll just know. I'll get up and I'll find out what they're doing. And you know, one of the first couples that I interviewed, a lovely couple, and the man had been an engineer, and his wife had, I don't think she had worked outside the home, but she was president of her country club.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, which can be an administrative nightmare for some people and almost like a full-time job. So Friday night, they had a big party. You know, everybody said all these wonderful things about him. Saturday and Sunday, they were still winding down from all the excitement. Monday morning, she gets up and she starts getting dressed. And her husband says, where are you going? She says, well, it's Monday. It's my tennis day.
Uh-huh.
And he says, but I retired. So
oh,
there
dear.
It was. You know, as you know, they hadn't had the discussion. She thought her life was going to go on the same. He had these expectations that, you know, hand in hand, walking in the sunset, you know.
Oh, dear.
And
it
was, you know, they had to have a sit down and talk about it. And I think that's, everybody has to have that. What are your expectations? Where do you want to live? What do you want to do? Maybe one of you wants to live in the mountains and the other one, you know, needs the city. Mm-hmm. And
it's a time for great, great compromises, as anyone who retired knows.
But you can't compromise if you don't say how you feel, you know.
Yeah.
And it's something that you need to have been working on your entire relationship.
Absolutely.
You know, too many women have just sort of put up and shut up. You know, they just said, okay, I'll go on with this, and my day will come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it isn't like that anymore, because who wants to sit around 20 or 30 years resenting the other person for not having the same views that you do? So, you know, you've got to talk about it. You have to accept that the fact that retirement is a big change in both of your lives. It's not an easy transition. You haven't, you know, remember years ago people talked about the major changes in lives, you know, graduation, first job, marriage, divorce, all these things. Uh-huh. Well, retirement was never in that list, but it needs to be.
Absolutely. You know, Miriam, we're going to take a break and hear about your host. And when we come back, I want to ask you, what are the signs to look for if your spouse seems depressed after retirement? And also, when we come back, we'll be sharing your website information and telling our listeners how they can get your book. We'll be right back with Miriam Goodman.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Thank you, and welcome back with my wonderful guest, Miriam Goodman, who is the author of Too Much Togetherness. Miriam, could you share your website information and tell us where we can buy your book?
Okay, my website is TooMuchTogetherness.com. Mm-hmm. And if you go there, it will, and click on it, it will take you straight through to Amazon if you want to order the book that way.
Okay.
But I always like to support small independent bookstores when I can. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, my publisher has not had a wide distribution network, and it's not in every bookstore, but it's possible to get it. All you have to do is ask for the book, and you go to the bookstore, and they'll have it within 3 days.
Okay.
So it's called Too Much Togetherness by Miriam Goodman, Surviving Retirement as a Couple is the subtitle, and it's available anywhere. All you have to do is ask for it.
Is it in Kindle format?
Yes, it is. It's an e-book.
Wonderful.
As well.
Wonderful.
And it's only $10, I should say. It's a paperback. It's $10, and it's the kind of book that you can have, put it in your purse, you know, have it around, pass it around. Whatever.
This is a perfect, you know, if you are going to a retirement party.
Exactly.
This would be the perfect gift to give both of them to have, so they can both read it and start connecting. Let's talk about when your spouse is depressed. What are the signs to watch for?
Well, often people kind of retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Men especially, they don't want to go anywhere. They stay home. They they sit at the computer all the time, or they watch TV, or they sleep a lot.
Oh,
and,
okay.
you know, it's not the best situation for anybody, because no one wants to be around someone who's depressed. And the problem is that this hasn't been considered as a psychological problem. I don't know if you're familiar with the literature of therapy, but it's always about women. It's always about women. They're complaining, they're doing this, let's throw some tranquilizers at them and they'll be fine. And no one has examined how men feel. And in the research that I have found is that it was discovered that the happiest men in retirement are the men who had sort of low-status careers. Maybe they worked in factories, maybe they worked for other people and never really felt their intellectual capacity was stretched. And, you know, for them, work was a way to put food on the table, and that was it. And once they retire, the whole world opens up to them. And they become a different person, which is, again, what's not in the literature. It'll tell you, oh, if you were a type A person in middle age, you're going to be a type A person in retirement. And it's just not true. Now, I don't have a PhD in psychology, so people may not think that I, you know, have the credentials to tell you about this. But the fact is that men don't know what to do with themselves. They live in a society where we have rules and protocols, and even somebody who thinks, oh, he's so independent, he's president of this corporation, or he's done this, or he's done that, you put him in a situation where he's home, and he can't find the butter. You know, it's really shocking. So if a man is becoming, you know, if you find yourself in a situation where, you know, your spouse is not reacting what you think would be in a healthy, energetic way, unfortunately, it's up to the wives to get things started. Now, I'm not going to say send him to the psychiatrist first thing, but start making appointments for him. Some people say, my husband won't leave the house. So my answer is invite people to your house.
Yes,
it's not
yes.
likely he's going to go hide in the den when you have company for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, make him take part in social situations if you can. And then if you find that he's wandering around, you have to think about what MO has worked best in your marriage. Now, some marriages, the wife can say, honey, you're just driving me crazy. You're driving yourself crazy. Why don't you go take some classes at the community college?
Yeah,
in other situations, women can't do that. They'll go get the brochure from the college, and they'll leave it on the coffee table or maybe even in the bathroom. You know, they'll be very subtle about it. Or, you know, push comes to shove, and they have a friend who's in the same situation, and the two of them have been complaining about their husband, they can sort of see which one can get their husband to call the other husband and see if they'll do something together. You know? You have to know what MO works for you.
Yeah, it's always a problem because women are so good at maintaining girlfriends and connections and bouncing a lot of balls in the air, and men, you know, they get bogged down, and it's hard. I say every day a prayer that my husband, I'm thankful he took up golf, because golf has become his new occupation, and it's something that he does with the other guys, and it gets everyone out of the house. They stay at the club and have lunch, and it's a solution for us. Let's talk about what do you deal with the expectations? How do you deal with your adult kids as you go into retirement?
Well, it's interesting that people think that it's only between the two of you, the couple, that the retirement is only between the two of you, and you have no idea what your children's expectations are. So, you know, if you live in the same community as your kids, you may find the mantra is, oh, let mom do it. She doesn't have anything else to do. Or, oh, dad can come over and fix this. He doesn't have anything else to do. And that's just not true. You know, people have commitments. You know, hopefully they have obligations, volunteering, classes, golf games, whatever it is. And your children have to respect that, it's just your life is the same as when you were working. Maybe you're a little more available. Maybe you can babysit. But you also have your life. When I was in Ann Arbor, I talked to a woman who was still working, and her husband had retired. And he had worked it out with his daughter that he would pick the kids up at school twice a week. And those were days when the wife was working later. And it was fine, and it was going along, and all of a sudden time came, and the older couple, the parents, were about to take a cruise. And they were going to be gone for 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And so the father called his daughter and said, I'm not going to be able to pick the kids up for 6 weeks. You know, she says, well, then you've got to make other arrangements. You know, this is your job. You signed up for this. You know, I don't have time to worry about it. You've got to find somebody else and do that.
Oh, wow.
So it's really funny. I mean, and then the problem is a lot of older people think, oh, great, now I'm going to have time to spend with my grandchildren, and which is wonderful when they're 2 and 3 and 4. But, you know, kids are so overprogrammed, and
yep.
they have so much they want to do that,
right.
you know, when last week it was fun to go with grandpa to the zoo, you know, this week I'm playing soccer after school.
Right.
You
right.
know, and you can't build your life around expecting your grandchildren to be available to you just as you know, your children may think that you're available to them.
I know. It's the generations that if you can be helpful or you can be taken advantage of, and it's a very tricky thing to pull off for everyone. Now, I am so pleased that you came on the show, and I just wanted to share with our listeners that your book is a handbook for living happily with a retired spouse and reinventing retirement, and it has 389 bright ideas about family, friends, health, what to do, and where to live. So anyone who is close to retirement, or if you are retirement, I suggest you get this book as soon as you can, because it will help you. Marian is a font of information and good advice. Go to toomuchtogetherness.com and get this book for yourself, or give it to everyone. Someone might make a wonderful gift. Miriam, this is fabulous information, and I'm looking forward to having you back on the show, because we need to discuss the space issue, because I thought we were sending our husbands out into outer space.
You know, everyone needs a room of her own. This is true. We do have to talk about that. It's really important, no matter how small your living quarters are.
And also, we need to talk about division of chores. A lot of men, when they're retired, they know where all the appliances are, but they don't know how to turn them on.
Oh, they do know, but they just want you to do it instead. So they mess up with it, and they say, oh, well, I just can't do this. So, again, everyone knows what MO works best in their situation.
Yeah.
So there's no one-size-fits-all situation. But the most important thing is communicating and knowing that there are two of you in this situation.
Sure. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and we look forward to having you back again soon. To our listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today, and be sure to catch all of our interviews with amazing guests like Miriam Goodman, with constant streaming at blogtalkradio.com 24/7. My upcoming guests for the rest of this week are all exciting, eclectic, energizing. They will astonish you, they will amaze you, and they will amuse you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that can help you to become successful. If you've enjoyed our show today, please click the follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener by registering with blogtalkradio.com. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful no whining world. You know, we really love sharing our stories and secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my personal mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. And the chocolate comment for the day is that there's more to life than chocolate, but not right now. So for now, dear listeners, stop whining and start smiling. And start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest today, Miriam Goodman. And be sure to get her book. This is January Jones thanking all of you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.